Hi, Sebastian Grove from Commerzbank. Three questions from my side. The first one relating to the 2020 guidance. Firstly, on the sales side, the midpoint of the sales target corridor implies almost 10% sales CAGR. Can you just provide the sales growth dynamics by segments and also how this compares to the underlying market growth that you do see in the various bits and pieces of KUKA? And secondly, just a clarification, do the targets include any potential tailwinds from M&A? And also, how do you view the availability of qualified personnel, so especially on the softies side, as you phrased it, Dr. Reuter? And then on the EBIT, I would be interested in hearing your thoughts on how the EBITA margin progression should evolve. So you guide obviously for a margin coming from 5.5% going to more than 7.5% in a 5 years time frame. So when I just do the math, it seems to me that 100 basis points increase of a margin comes from the PLM phase out alone, and then another 100 basis points can be attributed to the Swiss lock margin recovery. So I'm just curious to hear your thoughts on operating leverage, et cetera, at robotics, and also what is on the cards for the remaining systems business. That should be it for now.
And then Peter can give you some answers on the EBITDA question. The 4 to 4.5 billion guidance or idea vision for 2020 is based on the following growth rates for the divisions. On the system side, we see a growth rate around 5%, a bit below 5%, but around 5%. On robotics, we are around 10, little below 10. On Swisslog, we are around 10. And in KUKA Industries, which is a segment below systems, we are see a growth rate above 10%, around 11 to 12%. This is the 4 billion to 4.5 billion is only organically. There's no M&A included. M&A would come on top.
Coming to the margin question, if we look into systems, then we believe that they should be able to manage a 6% EBIT margin through the cycle, supported by our PLM initiative. Then looking at systems, they do the sales with a high growth potential. That should somehow work out that there the margin is higher, let's say something around 8. Our point is realistic. We see really good book-to-bill rates currently. Then robotics, that should be between 12 and 15 somewhere. If we and Till mentioned already the CAGR, so if we dare increase the number of robots sold, then for sure economies of scale are playing into our cards, which is significant from our view. And then to go more into general industry will help us increase service share, be more proactive in the service area. And Swisslog, Till mentioned already, 1 billion and a margin between 5 and 10, let's say 7, should be possible even if we dare invest more into own products and get top-line growth from the combination of robotics and logistics.
I saw some question or some question mark in the face. So on the system side, systems is KUKA Systems and KUKA Industries. So as mentioned, we are planning that the KUKA industry will be a separate entity towards the end of the year, beginning maybe 2016. And then we have in the systems, as you see today, the automotive and aerospace business, which today is something around 1 billion plus. On the KUKA Industries, it's something like around 300. And we see for the systems business, which is auto and aerospace, a growth rate of something around 5%. And for the business, which then contains the smaller cells and RISE, which is more like a master, a key account business on the automotive and aerospace side, and you have more like a sales business where you have distribution power, there we expect the cell business to grow more in the range of 10%. And therefore, the explanation of the two divisions.
And we are really deeply discussing that with our CEOs of the segments so that they are committed to this growth and to these margins, profitability, and we are all as a team running for it.
if I just may ask one follow-up question on the margin. So the greater 7.5% could be indeed be more somewhere at 8.5-9% without having a big stretch, right? If everything goes fine, there's no downturn in the automotive cycle.
You do quick
I think that's a good calculation, but we should have in mind that not always there is no downturn for a certain period of time, and you have to have in mind the holding cost. That there will be holding cost of around 30 million or something like that. We have to deduct a bigger group and needs some coordination.
Next question.
This 5-year outlook, will we get every year, say, an update on the 2020, or can we even a 5-year rolling forecast in the future? And then on the calculation of the 550 million euros sales volume in 2015, it seems a little bit, say, very conservative to come from 670 million Swiss franc to 550 million sales, given the appreciation of the Swiss franc. 670 divided by 1.05 is by far another number than 550 million.
Okay. 550 is in euro.
Yes.
The amount.
That's 670 million Swiss franc divided by the current.
No, we have to divide by 120 at the end. What's the end?
Pardon?
There are year end numbers. 670 are year end numbers for 14.
Yeah, 670 was the sales volume in 2014.
But the average.
So, and 550 is divided it by 1.2. But divided it by 1.05, it is 640.
Yeah, we have to have in mind that the FX is a problem for them. Yeah, they will lose some turnover because of the strong Swiss franc. They don't do too much business in Swiss franc.
Yes, but it would be an incremental loss of about 10% in real sales, to my calculation.
It's more or less stable. Yeah, a little minus, yeah. If there would not be growth this year.
I calculate 10% decline, incremental, given the changed FX rates. So 550 million sales by 1.05 is 780. Instead of 670 in the last year. That means a loss of 90 million Swiss franc. Perhaps you can, yeah.
Yeah, but we are today not at 105. Let's see how currencies develop and then see what there comes out. I can only tell you first quarter was not too bad for them, but we need to see how FX and how it somehow works for Swiss Loc and what is getting more difficult for them. They for sure lose EBIT because of their cost base in Swiss, and then let's see how it works.
Mm-hmm. I can just give you the numbers. We have the numbers comparable apples for apples for 2014 and 551, which is the same. You know, we can come back to you, but I assume, which I cannot fix today because I only have the Swiss Loc numbers for 14 is based on the 120. I have 550 million euros for 2014. And the same number is for 2015. So there is no big change in the number. We can come back on this. I believe that the 670, which you have in mind, are maybe the Swiss francs, but I just have the 550 euro for the last year. But let us come back on this and that we don't have here misunderstanding, misinterpretation.
And the 2.5 to 3% margin is excluding,
the
restructuring.
Including the 10 million, which I mentioned.
It's including.
Yeah. It's including.
Okay. So then my first question?
The first question, clearly, we have a vision for 2020, which is really on discussed with the management on our side. I expect that you're also asking on this when we have a plan on this. We don't will give a rolling forecast every quarter. We clearly will mention that we are on track. And I expect your questions on where we are on this. So it will be, we have a guidance on the next year, and we have a vision for the longer term for 2020. And clearly, we comment on where are we on the path. It won't be a rolling forecast, but some ideas about this we will clearly give you.
So at, when we meet next year here, we will get an update on 2020.
You will ask it, so we will prepare to give an update on this.
Okay. Can you hear me? Okay. Yeah, it's Sven from UBS. Three questions, please. The first one, I was just wondering if you could break down the general industry split a little bit further into the various end markets for me. The second one is, you mentioned Amazon. I was just wondering if you could distinguish yourself a little bit from the Kiva Systems business they bought. And then thirdly, on your aftermarket share, how that has developed last year. Thank you.
On the GI split, can I give you the today's ideas and where we want to go in the future? GI split today in robotics, we are approximately 50-50. So it means 50% automotive, 50% general industry. But as you know, we have 20% service, so it's 40 GI, 40 automotive, and 20 service. And the service is equally split between the two divisions. We have in Syslog, we have nearly 100% general industry. And in systems, we have somewhat like 75% automotive and 25% general industry. We're going to have this division, Kuka Industries, which is then taken out, spun off out of Kuka Systems. Systems will be kind of 80% automotive, 20% aerospace, and Kuka Industries really the game. The goal is that we have 50% automotive and 50% non-automotive business. Amazon Kiva. Kiva was the first example where you had a flexible rack system, so where not people are going in the rack, but the rack is coming to the pick station where people are doing the picking of the boxes. That is clearly one of the initiators for this idea. And we are going to the next level. We're going beyond this because we're not only having flexible racks, but we also do a flexible or automized pick station. So what we are going to have is the next way of robotic-based cooker automation to automize here the Amazons and the Zalandos of the world to really be more efficient. On the aftermarket share, today we have in robotics, we have a 20% service share. We see that for Kuka Industries, so the smaller cells, we can increase service over time. And we also think about to have a cross-Kuka service initiative where we clearly have not only service for one division, but we have service hubs all over the world where you can service the Syslog lines, you can service the Kuka lines, and also the robotics business. So today it's really much in each division. But really one of the goals is also to have a service which is above or around all the entities.
Thank you. Ben Glazer from Jefferies.
Try like this. Ben Glazer from Jefferies. Thanks for the question. Just two briefly, just on FX again, I guess. Sort of on today's Swiss franc is important, but more important is, I guess, the US dollar. On sort of your exposure currently, if you look at spot rates now, or I guess a rate of your liking, what would be the positive or the tailwind from translation for this year at the current rates? And then could you maybe remind us in China, is that mostly RMB business, or are you pricing also in other currencies? And then secondly, with regards again to the 2020 guidance and maybe a bit of a detail on sort of outlook on the CapEx cycle in automotive, just because it remains for now the most important single end market. How do you see that really now in the next 2 years? I know you just announced another large order, obviously, but just sort of for the group overall. And then sort of through cycle to 2020, is that going to be more of a 5% growth rate or 6 or below? What is sort of your assumption there? Thank you very much.
Okay.
Can I start with the FX? We believe that if the US dollar would stay at today's level, it would give us a tailwind of 50 million
more turnover because of stronger US dollar. China, we are selling in euro and in RMB our robots there. It depends on the customer.
Auto? On the CapEx cycle, I had discussions over the last weeks with the big OEMs, and just some things were talked, for example, Audi is going to invest $24 billion over the next year CapEx, so we see for 15, as mentioned, we have already a very good visibility on our business, also on our backlog and the margin quality in our backlog. We see that the big companies in the U.S. like Ford have plans for the next 2 to 3 years, so overall CapEx for 15 and also 16, I'm more bullish today on the U.S. and China. We see really have a good visibility on the projects. Overall, I expect that it's going to be stable. The growth is also coming from China, and the growth rate is something around 3 to 5%, more than 5%. And clearly, the majority of the growth will come from China.
Maybe just a follow on the yen that you mentioned, mm-hmm. and that is playing out with regards to the orders you have in your backlog now in 2015. And you mentioned the margin being quite positive on what you see now as incremental additional business coming in. Is that something where 10 to 10.5% is something, unless the exchange rate moves, depending obviously again the customer, but just on average that we have to for now live with on the automotive side? Mm-hmm. Or would you say there's a reason to believe in 2016-17 that margin, you know, might for the robotics business then really go more towards the 12% level already?
And I think first of all, I would like to get some clarity. So today we have an order backlog of 1.6, 1.7 billion. The biggest order backlog is coming from systems. So in robotics, we have something like 250, 300 million order backlog. Peter, to give you the exact number, the majority of backlog is coming from systems from the longer-term contracts. In this order backlog, we know that the margin quality is how called behind our margin guidance for 2015. So there's a majority. On the robotics side, as most of you know, we have this 3 months turnover, and then on top we have frame contracts. And if you talk about the yen, frame contracts has been done last year. And I think this year, clearly, we have the benefit of the weaker euro, so it's also we don't have to only talk about the weak yen. We have also a weak euro, which is helping us. But last year, the yen was weaker. So frame contracts from last year are coming in this year. And that means also from the price quality, we had some tougher price negotiation last year. Will be shown in 2015, and therefore also the margin which we gave for the coming year. But clearly our long-term goal is that we in the robotics side, with scale, with channel industry, with more business in China, we are also going to increase the margin towards the 12% and 12% plus.
Hello, Gordon Chanel from Bankhaus Lampe. I have a question with regards to your EBIT margin in automotive and general industry. Can you give us an idea what EBIT margin you achieved with your automotive customers, so robots and systems together? How do you see the pricing environment currently in automotive? Do you think margins are at a peak level? I mean, what we are hearing from China, for example, BMW is talking about a tougher environment, higher discounts. So it seems that the big German OEMs probably are at a peak level with regards to their prices in China, for example. How do you see that? Thank you.
I think if you have to ask our customers about their pricing, it can tell you something about our pricing. On the EBIT margin automotive, we don't disclose. That is, we have never done. So we can have the robot margin, systems margin, but automotive margin, we don't disclose. Clearly, it's obvious that the automotive margin are lower than the general industry margin, and when we do more general industry, the margin is going up beyond 10%. That's our goal. Therefore, we are also having this initiative. On the pricing environment, clearly the business in U.S. is quite more powerful, so we have seen higher demand in the U.S., and U.S. is investing more heavily than compared to Europe. So we are in U.S., we are on the system side, clear number one, because we bought Utica 2 years ago, and clearly number one with some gap to the next one, and we see that it really pays up on the margin side. In Europe, price quality is okay. It's U.S. is better, so that's something where we clearly follow up. But we also see that a couple of our big customers are having heavy investments towards the end of the year, and so we are still bullish on also Europe. We don't see the growth as in other areas, but we also expect that we have enough to do in Europe. And clearly, growth is coming from China. And the things that you mentioned on the pricing, on discounts, if you have pressure on the cost side, what do you need? Automation. So the big labor cost, which I mentioned, so you have increased labor cost of 10%. You have to secure the quality in China. And that's, I think, why all the reasons why companies are coming to us and what we do have achieved, and that was a global chart, we have achieved to be really global compared to 5 years ago, and you can have the same plant in U.S., in Europe, and in China. And that's something where I think the biggest customers, like the Volkswagen, Audi, and Daimler Volkswagen, are more towards going to really who are global partners. I want to talk to one, and you're doing the jobs around the world. And therefore, clearly, it is more challenging. You have the CapEx, you have the cost programs, but I think we can benefit from the cost programs in the areas where the growth is.
Then a follow-up question, maybe you can answer this that way. Is there a big margin difference with regards to your automotive customers on systems and robotics?
There's a big margin.
So systems is 75% automotive, so and there you achieve the EBIT margin of, let's say, 7%. So my question is the EBIT margin in robotics with regard to your automotive customers.
I think you cannot really compare it. It's totally different. In robotics, we have products. We are assembling. This is a product business, but in systems, we have 70% throughput material. Yeah, and then the margin is totally different if you have a brownfield plant or a greenfield plant. Greenfield, where you need much more material and put the things together, there the margin in systems is clearly lower than if there is a brownfield where we don't have so much cost as a throughput in, which is diluting the margin. So I think it doesn't make too much sense to compare a project business with projects over 1.5 years duration with a product business. That is a totally different logic behind.
Okay. Yes, hi, sir. It's Thomas Rau from Equinet. Two questions, please. First of all, on your guidance in systems. So in the last year, you had an EBIT margin of 6.2%. So for current year, you guide 5.5 to 6%. If I get it correctly, you are, on the one hand, on the positive side, you should successfully achieve the turnaround at Rice, which probably made a loss of up to 10 million in the last year, which should bring around what 10 million positive contribution in 2015. On the other hand, you told us that you're investing roughly 13 million in the new IT infrastructure. So that means, should I get that the 5.5% based on a stable price quality in the order book is rather a really base case scenario? Second question is on Swisslog. If I look on the individual businesses, so in healthcare, so margins are okay. So recently there had been some reports out saying that the healthcare end market is weakening somewhat. So could you share some flavor with that? And secondly, on the logistic business, there are some parts of the value chain with Swisslog has not in its product portfolio. And in the long run, is it fair to assume that you probably are going to make additional acquisitions in order to fill this gap? Thank you.
Okay, then I will start with systems.
Mm-hmm.
We set the margin, we expect in a bandwidth between 5.5 and 6. And having in mind that for sure Rice will contribute to the EBIT this year, but we will invest more than that in the PLM and the ERP project. So coming from something like a 6.2 and investing more into that or into R&D projects, even in systems, we have some small ones, then we are lower than the 6.2 we have this year. That is the easy calculation.
On the healthcare, clearly that's a business which is impacted by regulations, and in the U.S. you have the Obamacare Act, and what the impact is on the hospital that they are only getting certain money back, so it's a kind of regulated business. But again, it gets your pressure on the cost side, which in the end asks for automation. And I think we with Swisslog can benefit from this automation trend in the hospital. You know, I just got some information during the week when I heard that by so-called hospital bacteria, so the Krankenhauskeime, annually 15,000 people are dying in Germany. And I think then you have on top a 10% mismedication. We know that the traffic there, I think in the past there were 12,000 people dying per year. Now it's due to safety belt below 5,000, 6,000. And I don't understand the numbers. If you look at what we can change, what we do have to change. So I think on the healthcare side, there's lots to optimize and lots to automize, because the quality standards which we see in other industries are not yet there on the healthcare side where we feel it every day. So that's something where I believe that will be a market for the next year. However, it's really regulated. It's tough on the cost side, and you have low labor costs. But clearly, you see the impact by quality and by things which I just described. On the logistics side, yes, Swisslog is in parts. They are busy, and there could be really also additional things which we could look at. But I think it's important that we now focus on the areas that we can do. So, for example, this Kiva-like solution or this, I call it flexible rack with a robot, so we should focus on the areas where we have a solution today, which is clearly this Amazon-like automation, which is, for example, going to our customer Daimler and giving the here logistics solution from their rack into the line. So I think we have enough to do for the shorter term, and then if the business is picking up, because I also think about, are there smaller add-on acquisitions, but there's something which is coming or will come over the time.
Maybe one follow-up question on the logistics side. Do I get it correctly that to get additional capabilities in the logistics field is one of the key drivers which should bring margin to a much, much higher level than it has been in the past?
On the logistics side, on Swisslog side, combining their know-how with our know-how will make unique solutions where you get better pricing. And we have an offering with mobility and mobility, which we have on their side, understanding logistics. We do have a navigation, which we get this robotic award. Only Freiburg, we have the same navigation algorithm as Google has, so the same university is in the end the backbone. So I think we have products on the software and hardware side, which we combine with Swisslog to have this smart product and therefore get a better pricing and a better customer use.
Jasko Terzic, DZ Bank. Three left. First one is regarding your guidance 2020 and your margin. Is there any reason to assume that the low operating leverage is only eaten up by CapEx or higher CapEx, or is there any other reason why the operating leverage could be that low? Secondly, these goals, maybe I missed this, but is your compensation linked to these goals, or is it just a vision? And finally, you mentioned that the guidance is without M&A, but could you give us your thoughts on M&A in general, and which areas could be interesting for you in the coming years?
Let's start with the easy one. Compensation is not linked to the vision 2020. That's, you know, we have our contracts. As you know, we have both got new contracts or extended contracts last year. They're not linked to the vision. We are linked as the whole management to EBIT and cash flow. The other management also has revenue in their targets, but we are only linked to profit to EBIT and cash flow. On the guidance, M&A, clearly we have lots of smaller things on our table every day. Think about add-ons in the range of a single million acquisitions, which are in the divisions where we have to think about, are we really benefiting? But nothing big which is currently on our table. Operating leverage. So the question is, why we're not higher in 2020, or what is it?
Your leverage looks very low, and you said that you will invest a lot more. So is there any other reason except those investments which could drag on the margin?
You think about robotics? That's
general,
what you have in mind?
In general, for your group.
Yeah, I think that...
Because doubling sales and improving the EBIT margin that low looks for me that the operating leverage is not as high.
Okay, I think you have to take into account that you have certain business. So in the systems, Swiss lock business, you have the margin on around 6 or 7%. You know that on the project business, the operating leverage is not comparable to a product business. So clearly in some areas in the project business, we can leverage the SG&A cost, but it's not in the same way as the product business. On the product business, as Peter mentioned, we're targeting EBIT margin above 12. And then on the product business, you have a much higher so-called operating leverage because you also have seen that when we were building the second line of robot assembly in China, it only cost us 10, 11 million to get this new line, and then you can really leverage the operations. So I think it's due to our business. I think, as you have seen, we clearly have some internal goals which are higher, but I think it's the 7.5 is something which we believe we can achieve, and also given the business we do have today.
Okay.
Dann geht's in
Fans. Stefan Augustin, Kepler Chevreux. Couple of small questions. First is, you're now closer to the EVA going into the market. Could you share us a little bit with us what kind of pricing you could envision for that? Could you also tell us how many robots you produced last year in units, and maybe how many you sold into China that you are already thinking about a new production? Also, I would be interested in what you see, what currently your general industry market share is, and how that has developed in the past 2 years. Maybe another one, you reported that frame contract from BMW. Could you share a little bit light how the new one compares to your last frame contract with BMW? And the last one would be, I understand that correctly, that you have an expectation for an EBIT margin at Swisslog in 2015 of 2 to 2.5% after you have incurred the expected restructuring costs. And if that is the case, how come that we get so much more profitable compared to 2015 despite having a probable headwind from the currency on the profitability of Swisslog?
Just the first was the IVA, the only one that has IVA in China. Just the first question that was on the LBR IVA, yeah?
Yeah, that one was just for the price of the LBR IVA.
Okay. You know, just on the IVA, I think the IVA is our product where we have shown all the innovation. We got this Innovationspreis at Deutschen Wirtschaft last week, which is, I think, great to get this innovation award. IVA last year, I can tell you for this year we are planning to sell something like 300 to 400. Last year we have sold over 100, and I think the pricing which we have today is we're going to reduce the price for the EVA a little bit, but it's something which we will show at Hannover Fair, where we really again show it in further applications, and it will be clearly a price for the automotive market and a price for the general industry market. On BMW, BMW is, you know, we don't disclose any details on contracts. As always, automotive is competitive. We got a share in BMW, and you know, BMW is one of our long-standing customers. But clearly, as always, automotive is competitive. On Swisslog, 2.5, and if you look at the Swisslog chart, you can see the Swisslog over the last 5 years really were really flat. So the 2.5 or around 3% for last year is something which they have shown. And Swisslog is by size between the shares there in a spot where they are too small to really be global. The company, they have 150 million in US, they have 150 million in Asia, and they have 300 million plus in Europe. And I think by this size, a little bit, they don't have enough scale. And we believe we can really go up. They have their old plans to go to 5% by getting more efficient in Europe and by growing Asia and really getting some modular and standard products. And we believe we can do much more because only with our presence in the U.S. with close to 700 million, we can really support their business. We can do bigger projects. We are in the process of negotiating bigger projects because Swisslog can do a project of 10, 15 million. Together with us, they can do also projects in the 100 million range. So I think that we really can push them into the direction to get much more business. Also in China, if you're a small company with 500 million and you have 100 million in China, we have today 400. You're in a process where you have the same, you have cost to go in countries, and therefore I think we have certain scale impact on Swisslog, and we have product impact, and therefore we are convinced, the team of Swisslog is convinced to go to 5, and with our additional measures we see also that we can go beyond 5%, and we are working on an internal project between KUKA and Swisslog to really get this done, and the team is convinced to get between the 5 and 10%.
I fully understand the reasoning for 2020. I was just asking directly on 2015 and the expectation why last year Swisslog made 2.9%.
Mm-hmm.
You said in 2015 we should think on 2.5% EBIT margin contribution from Swisslog.
After integration and integration cost, no?
Yes, so let's say you simply assume there is a 10 million ticket or so on that. We have flat margins and we have a headwind from the Swiss francs. So
mm-hmm.
How do we get from the 2.9 last year to 2.5 into 2015? If I would deduct 10 million as restructuring costs, I just have half of that.
Okay.
So how does it work?
You know, I think it works that we're getting more efficient. It works that we're getting projects better done. It works that we have done our calculations and we are convinced that we're getting at least 2.5%.
So you also think you have a sizable amount of savings already in the first year?
You know, we have already seen a change in management. I think we will get, we stabilize some areas so we have good business. You know, I don't have any doubt that we will reach a 2.5% because also seeing what came in after we were taking over, so I see the order backlog, the quality, I see the change in behavior, so I think for 2015 with 2.5% I'm convinced.
Okay.
There are things we can take cost out immediately. The squeeze out will be done in July. Yeah, and then a lot of costs connected to that are not occurring, for example. Yeah. Or that we put in China offices together. So there will be quick wins too. And important is in the long run or the midterm that we together create new products and have a deeper own value chain in Swisslog, and that will be one of the levers how we can get to a higher margin.
Okay, and the production of robots in 2014?
19,200 or something like that.
We have a little film for you. I don't know if you have seen all the team of Boyle, the first movie last year, so I'm really proud to show you the second now, the Revanche. I don't know if you have more questions, but otherwise we can also answer questions on that later at the drinks. But is there anything urgent we can still have questions?
Maybe
kind of
a question here.
Yes. Thank you. Felicitas Bismarck from Deutsche Bank. I was just wondering your 2020 target, how much market growth are you assuming for that? So do you figure you're going to gain some market share, and how do you see that? And the second question would, could you give us an indication here for this 2020 target, how much is the split between volume growth and pricing? Thank you.
can give you, we try to give you some of this, because now that's a detailed question on 2020. Clearly on the robotics side, we want to grow our market share. The market is growing, I think, between 5 and 10% globally, clearly in China higher. And we want to keep and also expand our market share through our growth in general industry. We are number one position in automotive. We clearly want to keep our automotive position, but we want to gain market share in automotive. Yeah, sorry, in industry. On the system side, we are number one in the U.S. in body and wide. We are number two in Europe, and we are number two to three in China. And clearly also want to defend our market position and gain some market share. In aerospace, the industry is consolidating, so today you have many smaller players being at 150, and maybe in 3 years at 300. That's something where we get a more sizable player. I want to be one of the top three. I think in KUKA Industries, we are in certain markets where you have sub-markets of 50 to 100 million where we want to have leading shares. For example, if you go in laser, the market's maybe 80 to 100 million. If you go in arc welding, so you have smaller markets, but there we clearly want to have a leading position. So I think it's overall we want to gain market share. You have to grow above the market, mainly in robotics and industry. On the volume and value, clearly it will be on the robotic. We have a decrease of pricing of 2 to 3% year on year also planned. So it will be clearly go over volume. But I think important that we are a product company and we have to come up with new USPs, with better products, with more efficient process. So it's a combination of clearly volume, as you can see also the volume of robots from the last 5 years going from 6,000 to 20,000 or 90,200. Clearly we have some price erosion in the robots. Also going into the smaller robots, they are price-wise cheaper. They are, you know, clearly also margin-wise, they are comparable, but price-wise they are cheaper if they are smaller. And therefore we have some impacts from volume and value.
Okay, thank you very much for your questions. If you have further questions, your IR team is happy to answer them. Thank you.